7th meeting of the Plainville Bethpage Board of Education. Would everybody please rise for the pledge? Seth?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is our high school... Is she here? Hi. Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. All right, so, I mean, I can't believe it's already March.
Is it on? Is your mic on?
I think so, yeah. So we just started spring sports, so that's how we know that we're already nearing towards the end of the year. And this last week of February, we held our Battle of the Classes, which we named the Greek Olympics. Everyone who participated on March 1st, that's when we held the first Greek Olympics, they all had a lot of fun. We didn't have as many people as we wanted, but it was the first year, so we're just getting started. And we hope that this will be continued throughout the rest of the high school years. We had the talent show also on March 1st. I was a student judge there, and everyone was amazing. They had the whole audience engaged. Everyone really had a great time, and all the acts were absolutely amazing. So recently we had DECA go compete in Rochester, and we have a few who made it to Florida. And speaking of Florida, we also have the band and orchestra going to Disney World on Thursday, so that's really awesome for them. And today St. Baldrick's was held at Matlin Middle School, and it's a great fundraiser as always. And Grade 11 College Rep Talk will be held tomorrow at 7 p.m., and the SAD Blood Drive is going to be held this Friday, March 15th. And we also have the Grade 11 College Essay Night, and that's going to be on March 18th. Thank you, and have a good nice night.
Thank you very much. Do we have our representative here from JJP? Two. Hello.
If you saw my highlight this past week, you saw that they recently had a newly formed student government, and so they've decided to join the middle school and the high school as being representatives at the Board of Ed meeting, and if should another school have a student government, we'll do the same thing.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Andrew Ma, and I'm a student council representative from JJP.
And I'm Kylie Zerlinger, another student council representative. We are in fourth grade.
We were members of the first ever student council at Judy Jacobs Parkway School. We were part of 8 representatives that were voted in by our peers during the election process that took place in February. Fourth graders who wanted to run for student council filled out applications, wrote speeches, delivered them to our classes, and then the entire fourth grade voted. You could read all about this in last week's highlight. Thank you, Dr. Lewis.
We are here to share some highlights from JJP. Since the new year, we have been very busy. Recently, our fourth grade clubs have gotten underway. The art club, under the direction of Ms. Fizz, worked with Mrs. Levitt to turn the JJP Breezeway into a math lab. Art club members painted geometric shapes and created a math word wall that promotes a growth mindset in math.
The tech club created personal student websites using Google Sites. Our science club is exploring light engineering and propulsion. And next up is Kids on the Run, a writing club just for kids.
On March 6th, the PTA Cultural Arts sponsored Cheryl Fay. Ms. Fay visited our school and portrayed Eleanor Roosevelt to teach us about her tremendous impact on history. This was right in time for International Women's Day last Friday.
Each of our classes have been taking field trips to Stratford Road to visit the Discovery Destinations Lab. It is a great trip, and we have a lot of fun and learn a lot, too.
Last week, we had random acts of kindness week. Students in all grades worked on keeping track of how many acts of kindness they could do. We are going to tally them all up. Our goal is to reach over 1,000 acts. We'll let you know if we made it.
We have also participated in many fundraisers and community service events. The entire school participated in a fundraiser for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. We raised over $2,800. In our physical education classes, we participated in Jump Rope for Heart, where students raised funds while jumping rope for the American Heart Association. We raised $6,000.
We had a pajama drive to collect pajamas for kids of all ages and wore pajamas to school. And finally, last Sunday, we held the annual Judy Jacobs Flapjack fundraiser to raise money for the Linda Lippold Ray of Sunshine Scholarship. It was fun to have our teachers serve us breakfast.
Some of our upcoming events are Community Service Night with our PTA, and PARP is coming on March 25th. This year's theme is the Wild Wild West. Theme night is on March 28th, and we hope to see many of you there. Thank you for giving us the chance to be here tonight.
Have a great night.
Well, don't sit down yet. Don't sit down. Oh, come here. Come here, come here, come here, come here. First of all, we are so proud of the two of you. You are articulate. You shared so much stuff with us. I think you're as busy as the high school kids. And you're giving competition to the high school rep. So we, your parents and your principal and assistant principal and former principal, they have smiles from ear to ear.
Everybody.
You did a phenomenal job. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you. You've got a very busy school.
JJP is a busy place.
Any board announcements, Debbie?
Should I do that one first? Okay. Last Tuesday, during Lobby in Albany Day, our assemblyman, Chuck Levine, introduced our own Dr. Lewis on the floor of the assembly, recognizing her work as president of the New York State Superintendents Association and her unfailing advocacy on behalf of our students and all students. This was an honor for Dr. Lewis, and it certainly was an honor for our school district. It was a beautiful and heartfelt introduction, and we'd like to share it with you right now.
I had nothing to do with it.
You had nothing to do with it.
This is Dr. Lorna Lewis, who is presently superintendent of the Plainview Old Bethpage School District and has served and will be honored later with a resolution with extraordinary distinction as the 2018-2019 president of the New York State Council of School Superintendents. Notably, Dr. Lewis is the first woman of color to serve in that capacity, but this is not the first of her ceiling-breaking requirements. She has served as well as the superintendent of the East Williston School District and is as the president of the Nassau County School Superintendents. Her extraordinary career began at Fordham University, where, unlike almost, I'm sure, anyone here, she majored in physics. And then she got her master's at Columbia's College of Education, and she was science chair as well at Rockville Center. In addition to all this, she is not only just a dedicated educator and administrator, but she is a national and a statewide leader in public education and education in general. I last had the privilege to see my friend Dr. Lewis a few weeks ago at Temple Beth El in Great Neck, where she was the keynote speaker for Martin Luther King Day. And her remarks were meaningful and provocative. And as I told her on that day, Dr. King would have been very, very proud of her. Finally, I am very lucky to have as my hometown the little city of Glen Cove, New York. And when Robert Kennedy was our United States Senator, and it never ceases to amaze me how when you say those words, Robert Kennedy, there's almost a hush that falls over any room, and that's a tribute to Robert Kennedy. But Robert Kennedy was the senator from Glen Cove, New York. And many years ago, I heard Robert Kennedy say that those of us who try to help children are in the position of never standing so tall as when we stoop to help a child. And no one has stands taller than my friend, Dr. Lorna Lewis. So thank you for allowing me to make this introduction, and I'd ask you certainly to provide her with all the privileges of the House.
Introduced.
Okay, so with that, I just threw my back out. Okay.
Oh, no.
Is our middle school rep here?
No. Wait, okay.
Yes, come on up.
Yeah, okay. They didn't tell us. That's a great.
Okay. Hello.
Well, hello.
Hi, I'm Cooper Kirshner. I'm the vice president of the Matlin Middle School. Matlin Middle School gives back. That is the motto for our past month. MAP groups learned about the United Nations 17 Development Goals for 2030, and we came up with our own plans to make our planet safer, cleaner, and a cleaner environment for the future. Some groups decided to help reduce plastic use in their community, while others were thinking of creative ways to conserve water. Students were challenged to think more globally and recognized that their small changes can make a big difference. MAP groups purchased bracelets made by Mayan women in Guatemala, and their bracelets helped to raise money for UNICEF. Each bracelet earned the students a chance to pie a teacher at our extended MAP event. Students and staff had a great time for a great cause. Our next extended MAP activity was also a chance for our students to give back at our Bagels for Baldrick's craft fair. Students made bracelets, crafts, and baked goods and sold lemonade, all in an effort to conquer childhood cancer. The 2019 St. Baldrick's event was held today at Matlin. We raised a lot of money by selling water bottles, food, and raffles. It was very heartwarming to see many young kids and teachers raise money and shave their heads. Project Challenge competed in Odyssey of the Mind. It wasn't a winning year, but the kids had a great time. POB Middle School celebrated Spirit Week with a door decorating contest with the theme Keys to Success and dress-up days. Great times were had by all. Thank you and have a great night.
Thank you so much. And congratulations on all the fundraising work you kids have done. It's been for a very worthy cause. Thank you. Any other board announcements for now?
I'd like to make mention of, again, the JJP pancake breakfast in Linda Lippold's honor, in her memory. It was really a phenomenal event. I was happy to be there, although it was not a happy, happy kind of a thing. And also I wanted to announce that the veterans, my 5942 post, had a wonderful evening at their post last week where they recognized kids who wrote essays in Plainview as well as in Bethpage, Voice of Democracy and Patriot's Pen, and they do that annually, and it was just a lovely, lovely event, and I was thrilled to be there. So it was really great. And I congratulate all the kids that were honored, who were ours, as well as the kids in Bethpage. Thank you.
Can we see if we can get names so that we could recognize them? Okay, thank you. Debbie?
I was speaking with a member of our Chamber of Commerce last week, and I became aware that through a partnership formed by one of our teachers who was looking for internships and or job opportunities for her students, the Chamber of Commerce and she formed a partnership. Because of this partnership, one of our very artistically talented students in our special education program was hired by a local businessman to paint his window with various holiday-themed window paintings throughout the year. Just last week, he painted a St. Patrick's Day-themed window. The businessman hopes that when other businesses see that, they will reach out to him and maybe some of our other students, which would be wonderful. This partnership could lead for this young man to having a business of his own, and how wonderfully fulfilling it must be both for him and for this gentleman. Thanks to the chamber, this particular gentleman, for offering this young man this opportunity, and to the teacher for advocating for her students. If you are driving down Minetto Hill Road, take a look at the State Farm Insurance window. This is really a win-win for everybody, and it really touched my heart, so I wanted to share it.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Lauren?
So I was able to attend the JV Varsity Sports Award night, which was really something special. I want to congratulate all the athletes this season. And I'm glad Mr. Braco's here because he could correct me if I wrote this down incorrectly. But this season, we had the most individuals that applied for state championships. And all teams were scholar athletes. So kudos to all the coaches, all teachers, all parents, and all those students. I also attended the middle school fifth grade forum, which was very interesting, and it was great dialogue with the administration and parents. We got really nice feedback and good ways of looking into ways we can do better. So great communication.
Any other announcements? I would just like to take a moment. A parent in school district died last week, and his name was Howard Norris. His daughter, Ellen, is an aide in our school district. Howard was a champion and a fighter for children with special needs, as his daughter, Ellen, started school as a Down syndrome child. And with his perseverance and he and his wife and the fight of a few other parents, what they did is they made us form a Down syndrome class at Parkway School. And it went, these children joined every club, they participated in plays, and they stayed with us until they graduated. And the day they graduated as a class and walked across Tillis Center stage, everybody stood up and applauded for these children. It was back then a feat that no one ever thought could be done, but he was a parent who was committed to the day he died about children with Down syndrome and how much they can do and how they have to be respected. And we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to Howard and to Rhoda Norris for all they did to lay the groundwork for everything that happened. Collaborative classes just didn't happen. People made them happen. And so the whole school district wants to send the respect to the Norris family. Dr. Lewis.
Thank you. Last week we celebrated our diversity in the district with students coming in wonderful attire and parents participating in song and dance and celebration. And I want to applaud Dorothy Drexel for putting this wonderful event on. It was a sight to behold. It really was. So I want to thank her. And today I walked into the Matlin Gym to see lots of folks shaving their heads and raising lots of money. One student in particular is being focused in Newsday because the student raised over $22,000 because a family member was recently diagnosed. And this is going to be a large donation to St. Baldrick's, a very worthy cause. This past week, DECA, we sent 108 students to DECA. 53 qualified and will be on their way to Orlando, so congratulations to them. And also, Challenger basketball was on last week. They played South Huntington, and a good time was had by all. They might be featured this week on highlights. And if you're not busy on March 19th, please do attend. That game is at 4 p.m. And finally, this is not about POB, but this is about a colleague who I want to celebrate. Brentwood School District has a finalist in the Regeneron, one of 40 districts going, because there's a teacher there who has, like our teachers, has just been an enormous support for children of poverty, reaching out and doing research. And I thought to myself about all the teachers here who just reach and celebrate our kids. And this one teacher has gone all the way and is now a finalist. There were five districts on Long Island with finalists, and I just want to celebrate them, all five of them, but in particular, this young man who is about to have his life changed by a teacher.
We're going to go out of order because we know we have some probationary appointments, and instead of having you sit through our whole budget meeting and a lot longer, although you're more than welcome to stay, not that we won't be noticing who leaves. Okay?
Mm-hmm. All right. So thank you. By action of the Board of Education this evening, we will be appointing three people to probationary teaching appointments. We have Matthew Gom, who will be teaching at Old Beth Page, Emma Harrington, who will be teaching music at Pasadena, and Barbara Resnick, who will be a guidance counselor at POB, Plainview Old Bethpage Middle School. So they will be appointed by action tonight. Welcome.
Out of order, do I have a motion, Debbie? A second? Susan, all in favor? Congratulations. We had you stand, so now we know who you are. Okay, thank you. Okay, we're going to take our next part as we begin our budget process out of order. Ellie, PBS?
Just as Ellie's coming to the microphone, just want to give everybody the refresh that you'll see a lot of changes in our budget codes because we had to, because of state and federal reporting, we had to push department codes off to the right a little bit. So the last budget meeting, we had looked at how we had previously had entire district budgets in a 00 code, but now that we will be doing many things by building, those codes have now been split out to the various codes. So when Ms. Becker goes through her budget, you'll see that in her budget along with the other presenters tonight. I'll pull your presentation up, Ellie, if I can find it. Mm-hmm. I think I have to come over there.
Thank you for the opportunity of allowing me to present our 2019-2020 budget. You know, when you
can
say
you
it.
Can you believe it, Ellie?
No, I cannot. It just is astounding. But, you know, the nicest part of developing the budget is when it gives you an opportunity to reflect on the accomplishments of our students. And we have to remember that their accomplishments are not only due to their teachers in their high school, but their teachers from kindergarten through who set the groundwork. And you could see that out of 69 students who graduated with IEPs, 27 students earned advanced Regents diplomas. One student earned an advanced Regents diploma with honors, and two students earned advanced Regents diploma with mastery in math and or science. You know, what an accomplishment. You know, for students that have a disability to achieve to such a degree. And it goes on, even earning 27 students earning a Regents diploma, and you could read the numbers for yourself. 49 of 69 students going to a four-year school. Again, quite an accomplishment, because remember, we have 13 different disabilities, some, and we are blessed in this district to keep our students in district and offer all of them a quality education. So a lot to be proud of. When we look at projections, you know, statistically the numbers are small, but just to give you an idea that the projections are somewhat similar. You know, statistically one or two students are not particularly meaningful, but we are sort of keeping things status quo. The budget. The biggest, one of the biggest challenges for me is that we now broke up technology into many different areas. So when you see a change in numbers, it looks like a change, but you have to look at the sum total where you see it's really not much of a change. And certainly I will take any questions. We kept our budget, you know, we were able to keep it pretty flat, which is, you know, quite a tough feat. We try to use our federal monies when we don't get reimbursement, so we can maximize our monies that way. You know, I would highlight that in our contractual and other, we are really have moved to using our federal grants. And then if you look further down, tuition paid to public schools, tuitions is something that goes up every year. Everybody that sends their child to college knows that very well. I'd also like to just talk about other our summer in our contractual and other nursing services cause an increase in our budget line for that. Students that cannot come to school without the having a one-to-one nurse, and it gives them the opportunity to be able to be part of their community rather than being at home. And that holds true. This is our school year. You could see the change from $129,750 to about $174,000. We follow the state guidelines very quickly using the documents that ensure that students do need the services, and it always goes through our school physician to do that. And I think that's really, you could see that our budget remained, a little less than flat.
Can you just hold on a second,
Ellie?
Just back up one slide if you can. Hit the back arrow. The PPS budget is down about $54,000 year over year. I did question that. But I knew that Mrs. Becker and her department would have an answer. They track their students very carefully, both the ones who are coming into the district that are known, the students who are in the district and knowing or at least having a good idea where their placements will be next year and what services there will be, and also the ones that are exiting who are now, in some cases, aging out at 21 years old. They budget very closely but very wisely, I have to say.
Right. And we've had, this year we have two high-cost students. Not to say that, we're not going to have other high-cost students, but for now, this, we were able to keep it similar to last year or less than it was. And again, I am forever grateful for the board's support in allowing us to run a special education program that is respected Long Island-wide and probably even into, other counties, a full continuum of services. Starting a long time ago, we've always welcomed students with significant disabilities as well as students that just need a little bit of support. We have our own staff members, teacher of visually impaired. Fortunately, we had one on staff. We had a family that moved in with three children that required the service. And Nassau and Suffolk, you can't get this kind of service. And BOCES will be the first to tell you we don't have anybody to give you, unfortunately. So we were in really good shape by your support of allowing us to have that. The programs that our students have, TAG, SOS, Best Buddies, we're all so proud of. I thank you very much. Questions?
Are there any questions?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bittersweet budget that you're presenting to us, but I do want to say that for a budget and how you budget, our students get the world. I know because I go to a lot of other school districts and I hear what they don't have. And our summer special ed program, I think, is phenomenal. When we do that walkthrough and you see the growth year after year after year and that the learning that goes on, yes, they have some fun because they're still children, but the fact is that they don't have that fallback where they forget everything that they learned. It's a continuity of education. And to you and to your staff, you've done a phenomenal job, and to the parents who are so supportive, this is what makes our program so great. So thank you.
And your support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ellie.
Thank you.
So as Mr. Braco comes up for his presentation for Phys Ed Health and Athletics, all of our presentations are already posted online for this budget meeting. You'd go to district offices, business and finance, and they're in the budget tab.
To the people, just a point, I was only kidding, you could leave. Jody takes pictures.
So thank you all for having me here tonight.
Ellie, you should go home. Yeah, go, Ellie. Goodbye. Good night. Typhoid Mary is sick.
It's okay. I have two young kids at home. There's germs around my house all day long. So, but thank you all for having me tonight. And once again, thank you for the continued support of the Physical Education, Health, and Athletic Department. It truly is an honor to work here and be a part of this program and get the support that we do here in Plainview Old Bethpage. Some of the keys to our success over the last couple of years. This year, we've had a very successful start to our beginning of our school year. Boys volleyball was county and conference champions. Girls soccer was our conference champions. Boys badminton, only in their second year in existence, won a conference championship. And our girls bowling won conference championship as well in the fall. As Ms. Staxian said before, we had a numerous amount of kids qualify for state championships this year. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. We can always promote our kids multiple times. It's all good. But it was a great accomplishment this fall. We had a lot of kids qualify, which is something we've been trying to work for in multiple sports. One of the great things that we had this year is Josh Martin, one of our boys badminton players, was actually won a scholarship by News 12 Scholar Athlete. It was one of the News 12 Scholar Athlete of the Year and has a chance for later this year to be win a larger scholarship at their awards dinner at the end of the year. So as we mentioned, every single one of our teams strives to and achieve the highest GPA as possible is one of our goals for all of our student athletes, and every single one of our fall and winter teams have. Actually, our indoor girls track team this year actually had a team GPA of 97.5, which is just absolutely ridiculous for a team with 40 girls on it. So the team, yeah. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Every single team had over a 90 GPA this year in the fall, so it's been great. So some of the things that our budget is adding this year is we are adding, as we mentioned, we have Challenger basketball, but we're also adding Challenger soccer in the fall next year. So that's one of the additions to our program. So we'll be adding some new coaches and some uniforms. We get them brand new uniforms just like our basketball team. We get them their own equipment along the same lines. One of the codes that you will see that will be expanded is one of our equipment codes, and that is right here is 28, next one. Our equipment at the high school, we're looking to add a scoreboard for our softball program, and we're also looking to possibly update our scoreboard at POB Middle School and the baseball scoreboard at the high school as well. The softball team currently does not have a scoreboard, so we're looking to add that first and foremost. From that standpoint. Another thing that we are going to add at the health level is we're looking to expand the elementary health program from a 0.3 FTE all the way up to a full-time elementary health program. And this is going to allow us to accommodate some of the mental health mandates that New York State provided us. So we're going to expand some of our mental health lessons down at the elementary school level with a certified health teacher, and that also allows us to expand some of the other areas that we have as well, from going from 2 lessons per class all the way up to 10 lessons per class for the entire elementary program. So that's a great thing for the elementary school kids to grow and learn, but the other thing, it also allows the teacher to be in the school for longer periods of time so that the kids get used to the teacher, and it's not someone just there for a couple days and then disappears a couple weeks. So that's something that we're really excited about. Overall, our budget is down close to $21,000 from the previous year. And as I've mentioned in the year past, we have done a very good job of trying to balance our budget from year to year and also making sure that we're no longer buying 4 treadmills at a time. We're buying 1 treadmill per year to replace the ones that are in the past. So we're in a very positive place right now with our thing. And also some of the reduction was a real big reduction was in our athletic transportation that we're looking to almost reduce by $36,000. With the help of Chris, we've kind of come with that. We can kind of reduce it to about $36,000 year to year. But as we mentioned, we're getting brand new treadmills and rowing machines for the physical education program, both at Matlin and up at the high school, a certified athletic trainer for our varsity and JV programs, and that also helps supplement our middle school programs, supplies and equipment for all of our athletic teams, speakers, and as I mentioned, we're going to expand our elementary health program and also add a new Challenger soccer program for the fall program. The Challenger basketball program is great. If anyone's around on March 26th, just a heads up, we have a Challenger basketball program that we put on at the high school. Mineola comes, our band, Mike Rogers, and the band comes, and then we have all of our teams cancel practice for a little bit. Our varsity and JV teams, if they don't have a game, they're going to be inside cheering those kids on. So it's a great experience if you guys can make it. Yes.
So.
March 26th.
March 26th. That's what I have. I'll double check, but that's what I have.
One of the things you identified was the reduction in transportation. I just want to make sure, though, that reduction in terms of the cost does not mean that we're cutting back on the transportation that we provide.
No, I think what when Chris and I spoke is that we've just been, I think we've been be a little, we've been a little bit over the last couple of years, and based upon trends, we feel that that $36,000 reduction is, we're not reducing the number of buses we have, we're not reducing the number of trips that we're having. It's just that we feel that we can accommodate what we need with that budget that right there.
And over the course of the last year or 2 years, we've been able to see that we're able to provide sufficient amount of transportation to...
Yeah, I mean, it,
meet the needs.
Yeah, I mean, we work with WeTransport to get all of our buses out on time. We work with transports to get the shuttle buses around the district for the various things. When Matlin may have to go over Stratford Road or vice versa, we work with WeTransport to get all the buses that we need for the games.
Thank you.
Yes.
Have we priced out how much it would cost for a bus for after sports to take a bus home, to get the kids home?
So I have not priced that out. I have not.
Okay. I know other districts have do provide that service, so I was just wondering if, for, not necessarily this budget, but for the future.
I can look into it. I can talk to Chris, and we can look into the idea about it.
When we look into that, also know we will have to look at the late bus runs for private schools as well, because whatever we offer for public, we have to offer for private.
Susan?
Thank you. Thank you for putting this together, and the summary makes it so much easier than trying to read all the lines. So I appreciate that.
No problem.
One of the things I've been constantly is the helmets.
Mm-hmm.
Two questions under the umbrella of helmet.
Okay.
One, reconditioning.
Yes.
With all the newspaper articles and the science journals about concussion science, where I don't want to spend money where we don't have to, I would rather be very dollar wise.
Mm-hmm.
Should we be reconditioning contact sport helmets, or should we be looking into some of the new technologies that are out there with more concussion monitoring within the football helmet, and as opposed to reconditioning an older helmet?
Well, the reconditioning is a process by which the Riedel company actually brings their own helmet backs and recertifies our helmet to make sure that they are playable. Any helmet that they see that is unplayable, we disregard. The helmets that we purchase are the top-of-the-line helmets that we can purchase for a school district. So I believe that the helmets that we're bringing in are the best helmets based upon the Virginia Tech 4-star ratings that they give out there. When we're at the – everything that since I have been here has all been 4-star or higher at the rating level. I think what you're talking about is maybe some of the devices that can monitor the hits and stuff in there. I think we've looked at that, and I think in the past and in previous years, we've come to the conclusion that I don't think at this time the technology is as well as we would like. I've spoken to other colleagues in other school districts that have tried it, like Oyster Bay, that actually have stopped using it themselves. They used it for a year and they took it away. They didn't use it the next year. Sometimes the technology is there, but it's not fully vested out as well. I've looked into it. We've had people in to discuss about programs potentially that colleges are using and other programs are using. Some of the programs that colleges are using, they have 7 athletic trainers, one for each position group, so that they are monitoring it like at that time. But even when you have the monitors in the helmet, you're not necessarily grabbing everything. It's just telling you that the impact was this. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the child had a concussion.
Okay.
It's basically telling you the impact.
I just want to protect their heads.
Yeah, no, we are. We're doing everything that we can. When we do contact, we try to limit the amount of contact that we have during the week. We're following the new guidelines set based by Nassau County's football and also by the state, where we're trying to limit contact during the week. Thursdays, especially during football, we've scaled back on how much we tackle. We do really one day of live tackling, and then from that standpoint.
Now, my second question under the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
The girls' sports, in particular, lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been conversations. Bottom line, it's the same hard ball. Bottom line, sticks get knocked to the heads. Balls get put, you know, not every player makes it into the net.
Correct.
I know we have the headgear.
Headgear, yep.
Are they using utilizing it yet, or is it still sitting on a...
So we, at the middle school level, we require that our middle school athletes wear the helmets. That is
headgear.
Sorry. But at the middle school level, we do require that our girls lacrosse players wear the headgear. At our varsity level, we provide them the headgear, and then the parents have the right to say yes or no that they allow their child to wear it or not. That seems to be common practice within Nassau County. I've checked with some of my other ADs around the county. I've actually checked with Syosset, and we're following what they do. They have the helmets. They provide a letter that the parents can opt out. I don't like to use that word, but they choose not to wear the helmets. There's varying things. I have spoken to some of the girls about it. Some of the girls we get them to wear it at middle school, but when they get up to the varsity or JV level, it comes right off.
I understand that it's done around us,
mm-hmm.
but you know, as my mother used to say, if someone told you. You know, to jump off a bridge kind of theory. We're giving them the option for the decision. If there's better science out there that we might know a little bit more, is it shared?
So I don't disagree with you that the ball that the boys are playing and that the girls are playing are the exact same. The sticks are very similar to both aspects. The way the game is supposed to be played is supposed to be different.
Supposed to be.
Now, I'm not going to say that I've never the way that girls are supposed to the way that girls lacrosse is played and the way boys lacrosse are played, there's certain ways and that girls are supposed to that the girls lacrosse team is allowed to position their stick. There's allowed the way that they're supposed to throw the ball, where they're supposed to defend. And yes, there are sometimes that girls do get hit with sticks and sometimes that they do get hit with the balls. But based upon New York, USA lacrosse guidelines at this time, it has not been mandated to wear headgear while we provide it. Because I do think that's something that we are providing them a safety option. We still allow the parents to make the final choice on that decision.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Going back to the helmets, the football helmets, I remember about 3 or 4 years ago that people came in. The other problem was they may have the technology, but there are very few hospitals, if any, who want to give up the physicians who have to monitor things as they are happening. And that was a big thing that there's a company that came here, I forgot, mm-hmm. from Ohio or someplace,
yes.
and it sounded phenomenal. But they didn't have any hospital that would work with them. So that, you know, it's been an ongoing discussion, and I think we all worry about that concussion. And we've talked about the girls and how to protect. They should be protected the same as a guy. And I think that that's something that we parents have to become really, really aware of the dangers and everything. Many years later, those concussions come back to haunt people. But I just want to thank you because I know that you interviewed people and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one day, there's going to be somebody who's going to have a sponsor who will see it through.
Yeah, no problem.
Any other questions? Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
All right.
Art.
So as Mr. Wiley gets ready for his presentation, this is going to be something a little bit different for art and music, in part because of the way we are doing building-based budgets now. It would be, you'll see the art and music budgets actually show up in all of the building budgets at our next budget presentation. And in their budget process, both Dr. Wiley and Mr. Rogers created 5-year plans. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to see what's the plan for next year, but not only next year, for the 4 years after that. So you can see the direction our art and music programs are going and in a sustainable fashion. So it's going to take us from looking at the budget in a 1-year piece, but looking at it over 5 years. And if we like this, we will see their plans change as we go through year by year. So with that, I pass it off to Dr. Wiley.
And you won't be seeing all of those new codes in my presentation, so you don't have to worry about that. But before I start, thank you for letting us be here tonight. And as always, like to publicly thank, on behalf of the Art Department, your support, Board of Education, Central Office Administration, for the support of the arts here in our district. So before I jump into the five-year plan, I do like to look at our student accomplishments and our program highlights. We have a lot of them. As always, this year we had a Long Island Scholar Artist winner. It's only one out of 20 students named on Long Island who wins that honor. We have a number of students, 45 actually, just participated in the Nassau County Art Supervisors Association All-County Show. That was this weekend at Farmingdale University. We had one senior scholarship winner there as well. We subscribe to programs and partnerships with a number of museums and universities, two of which being the Huntington Arts Council and the Heckscher Museum of Art up in Huntington. So with those programs, we get to be a part of a lot of their exhibitions. So as you can see, we have a number of students take part in the Nightmare on Main Street art exhibition, the High Arts Showcase. Those are both Huntington Arts Council shows. We also have participants in the Long Island Best Art Show each year and a number of other shows and contests. We have some winners in some national contests each year, one which this year a middle school student from the Shanti Fund won, and will be being honored shortly with her poster design, and also right here in Plainview with the Plainview Water District Poster Contest. So we're always proud of those students. And the K-12 program highlights, we have accelerated studio art in the eighth grade. Many AP courses offered at the high school level. We have advanced 3D design and printing implemented throughout the department and various sequential course options for all students at the high school. Everything from computer graphics to animation to advertising design, ceramics and sculpture. And we're really STEAM focused in our curriculum. New next year will be our AP Art History, will be offered to all 10th through 12th graders at the high school, so we're very, very excited about that. So before I go on, this five-year plan was first presented to central office last year, so really last year, or this year, 18-19 was year one of the plan, so 19-20 would be year two, and so on. So really highlights of the plan is to really look at the classrooms and fully equip them with all the up-to-date technology and also safe equipment and reliable furniture and storage solutions. You know, we all know in the art room things get used a lot, and they're used, you know, tough by our students, and oftentimes we see things that need to be replacing. So in this five-year plan, we're looking at that, and we're trying to determine what would be best in all the schools to replace. So we're looking to fully equip the art rooms with that technology and that equipment. And also, most importantly, is update the course curriculums at all levels, because first and foremost is the instruction of our students, and we want to better reflect the recently updated New York State learning standards for the arts and continue to look at the curriculum to add courses at the high school level to better prepare our students for their future. And while I created this five-year plan, I looked at how it really related to the Board of Education goals itself, and two kind of areas that jumped out at me is the responsive teaching and learning and finance and facilities. So continuously providing opportunities, enrichment, and support services for our students in terms of curriculum and instruction, and also improve access to emerging technologies to enhance that integration in all discipline areas. And then in finance and facilities, to ensure that all of our facilities are safe and secure learning environments to meet the needs of our diverse learners. So I'm excited to show this to you. This is new for me this year. It's not that three-slide slideshow anymore, but it's a little bit more comprehensive years to come. And again, you won't see all of the codes and everything itemized out, but you will see totals. I want to start with the instructional goals. That's really no real budget implementation, but we want to focus on improving the instruction first and foremost. So last year we added ceramics and sculpture too. About 2 years ago we added ceramics and sculpture to the high school. That never existed before. The 3D element wasn't there at the high school, so we're excited to add that this year. And also we started this year revising the grade 8 art options for students in grade 8 for studio art options for students. Next year, if you go down to the next row there, 19-20 is the budgeting year. So at the high school, and on these charts, you have the 5 years on the left, and you have all the schools listed up top. So we're implementing AP Art History and Photo 2. We're combining our Photo 2 darkroom and digital curriculums to better suit the needs of the students and implementing that new studio art and grade 8 art options for students at the middle school. Looking forward and past next year, we're looking to continue our sculpture and ceramics program and potentially add a third sequential course in looking to continue to build that eventually into possibly an AP curriculum for students who want to work in the 3D arts. And also, really beyond that, we want to really start looking at the different courses at the middle school level, grade 7, particularly the next year, and looking at adding more of a solid digital component, because that's something that the middle school students don't really get right now, is that computer, the digital component. And I know that there's been successes in the music department with bringing more digital programs and curriculum into the students there at the middle school. And also to continue to revisit the K-4 art curriculum to ensure it meets the needs of the new New York State learning standards of the arts and to utilize the Chromebooks efficiently. And further on past then is to continue to revise and update our high school course offerings and explore the option. This is down the road. You can see that in 2023 is to look at possibility of bringing something like a full-fledged digital component, media arts, to the middle school level. So next is the art department's equipment goals for the next 5 years. Again, 18-19 is there. That is what has been done. Equipment is really, for my budgets, has been technologies focused the last 3 years, bringing technology to the department. But looking forward is to really continue to build the physical environment of the schools and the storage and everything like that. So 18-19, we added a number of computers and computer desks, and big thank you to Dr. Ladico and technology for helping support that, because I work with Dr. Ladico and Mr. Ward in buildings and grounds, kind of supplementing some of these things throughout the budget. This year's budget was in equipment was $38,000, and next year's $35,000. It's a little bit down, but we're looking to bring in more technology at the high school. You can see them listed there with vinyl cutters, different equipment items, such as wall cabinets, dress forms, sewing machines, drawing tablets, digital cameras, and flat files. And something at the middle school and the elementary the next year is to continue to make sure that all the classrooms have the new smart boards and also document cameras. Document cameras came out a while ago. They were really hot, but now they've kind of changed, and they have a lot more better features, wireless capabilities, and to be able to work over the cloud so that teachers in the art room can work and demo for students at their desk, and it projects onto the smart board so that students can look at it there. And further on, speaking with Mr. Ward, thing for next year is all new tables and chairs at the elementary level. Those are very outdated. A lot of them are warped. They don't really fit the needs of students, and the older tables had metal edges on some of them even. That could be a safety concern. So I'm working with Mr. Ward to do that. Later on in 2021 and 2022 is to look at some sink upgrades throughout the department and updates to existing casework and storage systems throughout the rooms to really utilize the rooms the best at our ability. Is this okay so far? All right. Here's some just visuals for you for this year. These are some equipment items and tables and storage that you can see on the left that were old. We had, state-of-the-art computers on just normal desks and tables that were, can't really see it there, but were unlevel and had metal edges, like I said, very worn. And on the right, you can see our new tables and stools and flat files. This is all very quality, solid maple cabinetry and casework that we're bringing to our classrooms. So that's a visual for you. And the next part is the technology goals. Again, some of this was talked about already, but started to bring in more printers and scanners throughout the department. A big part of art now is creating the digital portfolio, so we need those scanners and printers to do that, and also smart boards. And again, thank you to Dr. Ladico, who's been helping our department supplement and also purchase and put in some of these equipment items, technology items for our department. Again, this is touch base on the new document cameras in all the rooms at the middle school and the elementary, and make sure that all of our rooms are outfitted with the new smart boards. And I believe after next year we will be. All classrooms in the art department will be suited with those new boards. And they have the new aspect ratio, their full-color LED touchscreen. They're very nice. It's important for the arts to have that, so the colors are accurately represented and aspect ratio is correct for the computers that the students are using. And again, further on down the road, it's additional classroom sets of drawing tablets. That's been something that has been very successful in the high school, middle school level. And also look at iPads. iPads are now, they have some new software on iPads, and the iPads have the ability now to run the full Adobe Creative Suite, which was never possible before. You always had to run the downgraded version, but now the new iPads can run the full suite, and they're extremely responsive to the Apple Pencil, and you can really draw and sketch directly on there. And to continue to monitor all technology and upgrades when necessary, and again, iPads for drawing and 3D design at the elementary level as well. Here's some technology pictures. Again, these are all upgrades. You can see some new carts, some new smart boards. Those are the drawing tablets on the lower right. New printers and new computers. They're all new Lenovo computers that we've phased in the last 2 years, all top of the line with all the industry standard software on them. So new computer workstations, drawing tablets, printers, and smart boards. And finally, a couple more slides, art supplies. The proposal budget number has gone up a bit from 18-19 to 19-20. You can see there from 55,000 to 60,000. This is really in place because of the rising cost of ink and the rising cost of filament and the consumables that we're using throughout the art department. Each teacher has an art allotment for supplies, and those are based upon the courses that they teach. So the allotments may change by level and by teacher, but it's all based upon what the teachers teach. And so you can see the proposal budget for years to come will be determined by the number of art classes, obviously, and the students that we service. And finally, contractual equipment. These are two budget codes that the art department has. Contractual are things for like budget allotments that support memberships, participations in art organizations. All of our teachers are members of the NYSADA, New York State Art Teachers Association, and also the national level art programs, and the partnership dues. So that supports that. There's a $500 change in that code from 18-19 to 19-20. This slide's a little bit different in terms of the years. And then the parts support the money that we allocate for repairing the equipment that we do buy. Cameras and kiln maintenance, dark room equipment maintenance, that budget code is relatively small. And that is going down from 2,000 to 1,500 proposed due to really the new equipment that we have. We don't need as much money to repair older equipment because we have newer equipment. So that's the end of my presentation. The five-year plan supports the instructional equipment and furniture upgrades, obviously student and teacher art supplies in all schools, and most importantly, increased opportunities for student participation in the arts and statewide and national, really, visual art professional organizations. And to continuously support the new technologies is always changing in the art classes and the art world, really. It's really technology-based these days, so continue to support things like 3D printers, inkjet printers, scanners, and digital photography equipment. Do you have any questions for me? Or
Debbie?
It's not necessarily a question for you. It's more maybe a question for Rich. I appreciate your comments, and I loved the fact that we got this five-year plan / vision for art and for music. But I'd still prefer, in addition to this, to get that breakdown because it's still difficult to analyze. Because we have no historical perspective by this presentation.
Okay. I'll provide that.
But I love this. I don't want to do away with this.
I'll provide that. One of the things, if you kind of read between the lines of Dr. Wiley's presentation, a lot of his budget isn't actually in his department. So he mentioned technology. His smart boards are being bought out of the IT budget that was talked about by Dr. Ladico last or 2 weeks ago. The furniture is actually coming out of the Buildings and Grounds Department.
Portion of the furniture.
Net, year over year, art is up about $3,000, but I'll provide that breakdown. But there are other pieces that went to other budgets.
Too.
Yes, okay. I'll provide that as well.
Thank you. Susan?
Thank you. I also, this five-year plan is great. I like the breakdown on it. I also thank you very much for hearing us about the AP curriculum for art history. I think as much as doing art, learning about it also is an amazing thing. Art history minor, sorry.
Awesome.
And since we're talking about curriculum, one of the things that as a board we were talking about is and we've also been going to programs where kids are asking for real life type educations, and we've talked about circular going around. I love things that are can cross curriculum. And when I was reading this at home, one of the things that struck me, especially at the high school level, how we're doing things, the students are producing something. Well, marketing sells something. Mm-hmm. And if they could be, we have in DECA, there's cross curriculum. So I was wondering if I could put it out there for future, maybe not next year, but maybe in your five-year plan.
Yeah, something we always love to support, and it does happen. It's at a smaller level. We do have a course, Advertising Design, that does touch upon that. It's kind of the art and the sales and the advertising component of that. But I know at the high school, our graphics department and computer graphics media arts courses, work with the ELA classes, and they illustrate poems and stories all the time. And we've had music teachers at the middle school collaborate. He's here, actually, Mr. Lombardo, with one of our elementary teachers to create music from some of the artwork at the elementary level. So it's sent up to the middle school, and the middle school students compose music based upon that artwork. So it is a real cross-curricular projects. And I continue to look at, and there's a lot of programs now where high schools are starting to partner with outside universities or other schools even to provide even more hands-on experience and kind of internship programs. So it's something to come in the future and something that's I'm looking into and,
And also, would it be more like also that nitty-gritty? Because some of the things that we've heard from high school students and our recent alum, mm-hmm. understanding, selling and buying and bank accounts and like that kind of.
And they love the field trips also. That's always a big component of our
it's just
program.
So
they can see that in the city and other things.
I'm putting it out there, we put out art history. I'm just putting it out there for
okay.
now. But thank you very much for this presentation.
Thank you for your comments.
Any other questions? I just want to say that when we did our walkthrough at the end of the year, and then we did our walkthrough in September, and we saw our new art rooms, it was
beautiful,
a sight
right?
to behold.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, the rooms are 10 times bigger than they had been.
Yeah.
Everything was neat and orderly, but to see the kids at these now desks or tables, whatever they are, and they can move and everything else, it was just mind-boggling.
It's important. The environment's important, and that's something that we want to emulate throughout the district.
And we all know that everybody learns differently, so when you can adjust where you are and things like that. But the art rooms look phenomenal.
Thank you.
So thank you. Any other questions? Just thank everybody in your department.
All right, I will. Thank you very much.
Are you going to sing the presentation?
I thought the two of you were going to do a song and dance.
I did.
I always
maybe
get
next
a kick
year.
Mr. Rogers is here.
Yes, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. As
you got to get a sneaker and throw it once to make me happy.
I'll see what I can do. First, I just want to say thank you to the Board of Education, to the administration, to my colleagues, the PCT, and the parents, because the music department's five-year plan was truly a collaborative effort. And it was done by committee. And the goals were designed through meetings, through discussions with all of these stakeholders to help create a forward progression of what the department needs and what the physical spaces need in addition to the curriculum needs. So I'm not going to waste some time going through each picture, but the one here in the front that I'm most proud of is the one in the bottom right. In 2008, we were named one of the best communities in music education, and that's really a testament to the years prior to me getting here of fine quality music education, and we should be finding out at the end of this month if we've been given this distinction again. Some of the keys to success here in the music department, I won't read them line by line, but traditional excellence in the all-county denominations for our students, all-state, all-national. But we've also seen an increase in students in the theater department going to conferences and participating in honor ensembles and honor experiences of that nature. In addition to students also succeeding with these ensembles, I'd like to also recognize several teachers who've taken the opportunity to chair county-level festivals and things like that, who've also brought such diversity and really a hand of experience to our students through these experiences. And some things coming up would be some guest conductors and clinicians as we look to have our first ever fourth grade district concert at the end of this year. So just really some exciting things going on, supported by the budget and also helped plan through the five-year committee that we had. So I want to focus first on our new auditoriums, because at the end of this year, we'll have really completed four brand new spaces in which performances will take place. And like all performance spaces, in addition to the lighting and the sound and the physical acoustical space that's been designed, we also wanted to look at a few other items to really elevate it just that little bit extra. And to do so, we looked at what's needed. And first, focusing on the five-year plan, you could see a trajectory for new concert chairs. The chairs we have here at Matlin are old, and they're pastel and slopey, and they're really not the best chairs to perform in simply because of posture and breath control for different instruments. So as the auditoriums become complete, we'll have a plan to repurchase new concert chairs, black concert chairs, along with new coral shells that match, that help the acoustics, in different places, different risers for the elementary school, so things look more uniform. And then as we get farther along in the plan, new music stands, new carts, and a piano for John F. Kennedy High School to live in the auditorium space. This is really also a testament to the community for voting in the bond, but now we would like to just continue to give the students the quality in place to perform in the sense of their own physical personal area, such as chairs, music stands, lights, and things like that. And there it's represented in the performance spaces. Some initiatives coming up, and again, this is collaboratively done. We're really excited about some of the opportunities and working collaboratively with some of my colleagues. We're looking to expand jazz to a 5th and 6th grade jazz band in addition to a 7th and 8th grade jazz band in both middle schools. We are happy to see an increased enrollment in, or the first enrollment of the 8th grade studio music course coming in next year, where we will have at least right now two sections at Matlin and three sections at POB Middle School. And technologically, we're looking at adding some smart music to the elementary levels. Be a Recorder Star is a similar online-based program where students get their own online subscription to practice recorder at home as well as in school. And in the STEAM area, we are looking to have some residencies through the Arts and Education Funds for the elementary schools, in addition to a guitar building program in our guitar class in the high school, where students will have in guitar 3 and 4, will have an opportunity to actually construct their own guitars with some support from a contracted vendor to buy guitar kits, work on the electronics of it, really design their own, and then look to collaboratively design a physical look of the guitar with the art department and maybe painting it and things like that. Yeah, really, really build it. They sell guitar kits, and they would have to put it together, wire it themselves. So, and again, to support the STEAM initiatives here, and this is a great idea, something that I really think will go very, very well. And as we continue down the five-year plan, also some theater things coming up, growing the tech theater department. Now, focusing back for a second on the new auditoriums, with the state-of-the-art lighting that we have and the sound designs that we have, we really have an opportunity to also continue to improve that. So we have such a great opportunity to make that space not only a performance one, but an educational one for tech theater and stage automation and design. Any questions so far? Great. These are just some furniture and room requests coming up. We have, again, with the purchase of so many instruments over the past few years, and as some of our high school music spaces and some of our other middle school music spaces continue to fade a little bit, we're looking just to do some painting in the rooms, give it a makeover, and having some instrument racks to store some of our instruments in a better space. And that's just laid out here year by year by year. As you can see, this is some interesting instrument purchasing plan that we've initiated some years ago before I got here. But you can see that we've already expanded our instrument inventory pretty greatly. And as we continue to do that, you can see that we need to now address some areas at Matlin Middle School and some of the elementary schools so we can continue to own more of our own instrument inventory, which will reduce the cost of rentals, but may increase the cost of repairs over time, but we would have a more complete inventory of instruments for students. And that's laid out here in two slides. You can see Matlin. Now, don't be where it says one Yamaha intermediate baritone saxophone. Even though it says one, that saxophone is about $6,000. The same goes with a euphonium. That's about $4,000 or $5,000. And the trombones are a little less money, but they're still not cheap. And bassoons, the cheapest student ones you can get, are probably about $5,000 or $6,000 as well. So we're buying more specified instruments so that we could have them here as a bank. It gives the orchestras and the bands a more complete sound. It gives more opportunities for students to play a variety of woodwind and brass instruments. And as you can see in the elementary, we're going to start to purchase the instruments that students typically rent on their own, the violins, the violas, the flutes, the clarinets, trumpets, and things like that. As you can see, the budget has been so supportive of so many wonderful things coming up. We have new ensembles happening, percussion ensembles, wind symphonies, and this is a testament really to the teachers who have taken initiative and run with their ideas and their programs. Certainly, Plainview is a place of great talent, and we've just been looking to use every way to cultivate that so the students have the most complete possible experience as a performer, as a student musician, an opportunity to, as of Thursday, be a traveling musician, as we're really excited. So if you have any questions, please let me know. Yes.
Yeah. We're going to be building a music lab at the high school.
That is in the five-year plan, not for next year, but possibly the following year.
I just said slash curriculum, so I didn't want to make sure that was just curriculum that could have been used.
Yes, that's in the, that is included as well.
If we live long enough, we're going to see it happen, right?
We're going to see it happen. The biggest thing is finding space for it, but we will make sure that we do.
And I saw a tent that you could, you know.
And to just add to that, with the Chromebooks and the one-to-one rollout, we have in the past few years expanded online subscriptions and subscription-based learning with the music department, particularly in fifth grade to eighth grade, where it's really now infused into the curriculum. I walked into a fifth grade class today that was using Soundtrap, and the students were composing their own Rondo form scores with it, which was pretty amazing to see, just that they're so comfortable with the technology now and watching it work. So
I think that we're all just very thrilled, and we're excited Mr. Oliveri is here for Mamma Mia coming, and it's going to be like a Broadway production, so we're very excited about it. Any questions, Ronell?
Am I to understand that many of the instruments that children take are going to be provided by the district rather than rental?
That is the goal for the instrument purchasing plan over the next few years. As we've already purchased so many, some of the instruments the students get received too, so low brass and low strings, so cellos and basses. If they rent from the district, they get one to take home and one to keep here in school. We're going to be looking now to start to provide more of the smaller instruments, the flutes, the clarinets, over time. And over the course of 5 years and over the course of 10 and 15 years, we should be able to build an inventory where our rental is very, very minimal, if that.
Thank you. I think that's very, very important. The parents pay enough, and I think we should provide that. Thank you.
Susan?
So one of the things thank you very much. This is very inclusive and great support. I love the arts, and I think we're very talented. One of the things I did notice, with the art students, we help the student do their digital portfolios. The same goes forward with any theater student, any choral, or even instrument students in the upper grades when they're going to camps, schools, and beyond. Do we have that same support as the art does?
Yes. Okay. So I can answer that question on two fronts. The difference between art and music for that is almost exclusively for art and theater, or music and theater programs, rather. Acceptance into high-level enriching opportunities for summer institutes and college is always by live audition. So regardless of where the student is applying to go, they will have to have a live audition. And we're experiencing that now as I write a lot of recommendation letters for students. I can confidently say that our theater staff and our music staff really do support our students, whether it's making accompaniments and coaching them through their college auditions. And that's evident by the success of students who are accepted into music and theater programs. As every year since I've been here, we've had about 5 to 6 students who've gone into the music or music business or music performance professions pretty exclusively. And part of the idea of this 5-year plan, since we're on this topic, is also to now try to introduce students into technical theater, as we really can be in the next 3 years a leader in tech theater education based on what the board and what the bond has brought here. And we've already purchased some equipment to begin to educate our students in our tech theater department to go that route, with incredible support from Ms. Barry, who has the technology department, but also Mr. Carbo, who does the tech theater students as well.
Thank you very much. We look forward to a lot of great productions and the success of all of our kids.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
In the music lab.
Okay, so now we are moving on to district library and Ms. Talone.
Good evening. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here tonight to talk to you about our budget for next year, what our plans are. Everybody can hear me?
Good evening.
Yeah, great. So some of our keys to success are the continued support we provide through our libraries for the one-to-one initiative as it grows and continues to be a success. So we've had a lot to do with the policies and the procedures and keeping everything going. We're kind of behind the scenes making it all work. We've also been developing a strong partnership with the POB Public Library. Gretchen Brown is a great partner with us. We have this year successfully implemented Access 360, which is our partnership with the public library, through which our students now have access to all of the public library's e-books through our catalog. So they do not need to have a library card handy. They have access in all the different levels, depending on what library they're looking through. They have access to all of the public library's e-books, so it's very easy to access additional materials through that. The implementation of programs to create future-ready students through makerspace activities, digital media activities, coding activities, digital citizenship lessons, and opportunities for exploration and creation in our libraries. We also are the leaders in curation and the introduction of instructional technology designed to provide new learning opportunities for our students and helping our teachers, supporting our teachers as well. Providing personalized learning spaces for our students and staff, that's a big goal of ours. And communicating with parents and community regarding library programs and helpful resources through newsletters, PTA presentations, and emails, that kind of stuff. So I don't want to go line through the budget, but I will give you a good summary. We did decrease our request by 3% this year. We made some substantial cuts to our traditional book budgets and invested more money instead in our database offerings. We're looking to offer our students and our teachers resources that are available 24/7. So that was the motivation we had with that. We're also purchasing more digital media lab equipment, more makerspace supplies as well, mobile furniture, flexible seating. All of that is included in next year's budget. So some of our budget supports are that we hope to continue to curate high-quality multimedia resources, digital and print, creating 21st century personalized learning spaces through the acquisition of equipment, furniture, and learning resources. So we are looking in all of our libraries to making spaces for all of our student learners, whether they want to sit quietly and read, they want to collaborate, or they want to create. So we're trying to find a way to make all of that available in all of our libraries. Also leading by example in the way of meaningful and purposeful integration of digital resources for both of our teachers and our students, raising global awareness through participation in various activities like the World Read Aloud Day, Read Across America. One of the things we're doing next year is we are planning on purchasing Zoom
field trips for our students, so that will give them an opportunity to not only visit places throughout the world, but also interact with other people throughout the world and students as well.
How does that work?
So we purchase a package, and we get a certain amount of virtual field trips available to us a year. There's a schedule of events. We have to sign up for them in advance. Some of them are free, but the ones that we do sign up for, our students will have the opportunity to actually interact with the person on the other end who is conducting the field trip. So if they're talking with a scientist in South America, then that's who they will actually have the opportunity to talk to and ask questions. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity. We actually have somebody coming to our meeting on Wednesday to demo it for us. And we're also looking to expand our makerspace, our Creative Corner opportunities, our innovation lab areas, so the students have the opportunity to actually explore their own interests at their own pace. Any questions? Yes.
How are the allocations per building made? Is it per pupil?
So it depends on what the actual material is. So most of them.
I was specifically looking at software, books, and periodicals.
So no, those are generally speaking made based on what the usage is and what the librarians are requesting from year to year, depending on what their circulation is and what they're requesting. It's not based on per pupil. Yeah.
Any other questions? Libraries changed a lot.
Yes, a lot, and it's continuing to change. It can be overwhelming to stay up to date.
It's just evolving on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, absolutely, but it's exciting.
It's more of a comment.
Yeah.
In our walkthroughs and everything, I saw all the different, the flexible seating that you brought in from Les. Are we going to be I'm not sure if I'm seeing it because I guess it's within the buildings.
Yeah.
So you'll be doing more of those?
Yes, especially at our secondary level, we included more funding for furniture, specifically for flexible seating and mobile furniture. Yes,
I think it's great. I mean, the library shouldn't always be shush-shush. It's a great
It's place. Definitely not. If you ever come through our libraries, it is not hush-hush.
I love your Twitter page. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank all the librarians.
Thank you. We will. Thank you.
Okay, I will be taking the reins on this presentation, although for private and parochial textbooks, the supervisor of that operation is here. That's Mr. Braco. Jeremy Ritter is here in support of 4th R. Cheryl Dender is here in support of the Senior Citizens Program. And although Joe Izzo isn't here, he has provided me with notes and comments. So private and parochial textbooks. There's really one main component of this. It is the cost of the textbooks and textbook service that we're required to supply to private and parochial school students. Mr. Rako suggested that we keep the budget the same. If we do look to amend this, we could reduce that allocation a little bit, but we never really know what's going to come through the door because the private and parochial schools can go out for textbook adoptions about every 5 years. So every once in a while we get a biggie come through that we don't know of yet. So that budget remains unchanged.
I would just like to say that's a discussion the Board of Education has had forever, where the amount of monies that can be spent, if they've had sometimes a textbook for 1 year, decided they didn't like it, and at one point we would add up that the cost of all of our elementary books compared to the parochial cost was almost double for some of the stuff, and mm-hmm. It's just one of those things we have no control over.
Right, and it's not predictable, and unfortunately those requests come in really after budget adoption.
Yeah. I just think that it's a lot of times the public doesn't realize what costs we pay for private and parochial. Thank you.
4th R. Questions about this will be answered by Mr. Ritter. You can see that he suggested we go forward with the same budget that we adopted in 18-19. I did review what our actual expenditure is to date for 18-19 because you'll see if you look at 16-17 and 17-18, there's a pretty big difference in expenditures. So up to this point, through the end of February, beginning of March,
Mr. Ritter has expended about half of his budget. So if you roll forward with that assumption, he'll come close to the $59,000. You know, we know he won't overexpend the budget, but once again, that's really driven by enrollment and registration with parents. Any questions on that?
I just want to say this program has taken off, and we only hear really good things about it. And I know that you probably could have a waiting room if you wanted and offer more. But thank you, Jeremy. Great job.
Adult education. As I said, Mr. Izzo couldn't be here tonight. His budget, once again, is the same as last year. You can see that going back to 16-17, it approached really the biggest part, contractual and other, approached $40,000. Then it came back. This year, we are seeing about the same use experience as we saw in that 16-17 budget year. He did introduce new classes this year. In the fall, he introduced balance and strength fitness, kickboxing, writing and publishing stories and articles, and romantic evenings in Paris. I don't think they actually went to Paris, though. Spring, five new courses introduced: improv comedy, felting workshop, painting on the fabric, Latin American adventure, and sumptuous small plates. Enrollment this year is a little bit higher than last year. Any questions on adult ed?
Susan? Mm-hmm. I know that our budget is presented as an expense budget. There's a fee to the community when they take the – so isn't this sustainable? Isn't it a – would it be a net-net?
It is a net-net, so but that goes into miscellaneous revenue. There are courses that if they're undersubscribed, they don't run. The course has to pay for itself in order for us to run it. But because of the nature of this type of thing, different than child care, we have to run it through our general budget.
Thank you.
Again, we're glad to see new courses offered. I think that the community liked that also. Would you just thank Mr. Izzo?
Sure. Thanks. And senior citizens program, Cheryl Dender is here tonight. As you know, she has a new component to her job description where she is overseeing this and really helping Rachel Stoiano. And we have seen a lot of new activity in the senior citizens program, which is great. It does look like the budget is up about $6,000 over last year. We are looking to bring some new office equipment into there, and that's where you see the technology equipment. One number we want to go back and reexamine before budget adoption is that contractual and other code, where you see it almost doubled from the previous year. And speaking with Mrs. Dender, we want to reexamine that and get down to the details of that. But we do know that there's more activity and more participation in the senior citizens program.
Just a little history. At one time, this was a $70,000 budget that we kept cutting down and down and down. Until now, it's not a big budget, but yet they pay back, they come out, and they give back to our community with scholarships and everything. So I'm glad to see that they're doing more stuff. Any questions? Nope.
Okay, now I'm going to pass it to Mr. Donnarumo for transportation, health, and safety. He promised to keep it brief.
20 minutes, correct? 20 minutes.
Get it in writing next time.
No, definitely not. So thank you very much, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity, 1920 health and safety budget. I do want to take some time just to talk through some of the highlights, but I won't keep it too long, I promise, on that. So just as a view of, you know, a reminder and a view of our transportation that we're currently doing and what we're looking forward to next year, we do on a daily basis transport approximately 5,300 students to and from school within our seven schools within the district, private and parochial, special education, transportation as well. When you take a look at those numbers, we're transporting in district almost 5,000 students. 280 to 30 different private and parochial schools, as well as 42 students are being transported to 22 different special education schools. One of the highlights for transportation this year is really the contractor we work with, We Transportation, has integrated 20 buses with the addition of cameras and GPS as equipment that are standard on the buses. So that's one of the things that you're seeing as a difference that, for this year. Also, we're looking at, obviously, efficiencies. We've talked about that in the past. When you shift over to look at the keys to success and the work that we did during the course of this year in health and safety, I will touch on some of these. They're obviously there for everyone to read. But we did really focus on providing additional coverage on weekends and nights through our security command center as well as patrols. We did integrate a one-button lockdown system in all seven of our buildings, which automates the lockdown process. We integrated a scholarship smart ID system at the high school. That's the student IDs that helps to track students that are coming and going from the campus during the school day. And then our Sandy Hook Promise Anonymous Reporting System, that's something that's no more than 2 weeks old. Really, that's the thing that I'm most proud of so far this school year, and working with my colleagues and Nassau County Police as well as Sandy Hook. That really allows us to get ahead of any potential problem coming our way, which is definitely a help. During the course of the summer and the fall, we took a look at the Homeland Security audits and tried to build as many of those recommendations into our plans for a response. We also have situational awareness training. You will hear more in the future about our Salt Lock system that's been installed at Old Beth Page and is being installed currently at Pasadena and JJP. When you take a look at the breakdown of private and parochial schools, this is information that's always presented to the board. Just to try to summarize, out of those approximate 280 students, where those students go, we really do have five different schools where the majority of the kids go out of district: Chaminade, Hank Plainview, Hank Uniondale are big numbers as well, Solomon Schechter, and St. Anthony's. But they do range all the way down to a number of one, all the way up to a high of 65. And then as we take a look at next year, as far as the recommendation for the budget for transportation, there are a couple of line items that I do want to take the opportunity to point out. If we look at 5510, 210, 49, this year we did purchase and replace one of our small vans within the district, so you're not going to see a line item open for that next year. You're going to see a decrease of $53,500. That's definitely an important piece. Another thing I do want to draw your attention to is line item 4610-46-00-49-00. What we've seen over the course of trying to maintain our buses that we own within district, the four buses we own, really the vehicle maintenance costs have really escalated over the course of the past couple of years. In the 17-18 school year, we had to replace a motor, et cetera. So you will see a bump in those numbers as far as trying to support those pieces of our transportation. As we move forward and we go into the next pieces, really, some of the things that I do want to just take a moment to highlight, again, related to transportation, you're going to see a 20% drop in diesel fuel. It doesn't mean that we're transporting less students, transporting less on our district buses. We're just trying to get our estimates of cost in line with what you're actually spending. So you're going to see that coming at $8,000 for the next year. These are our field trip numbers proposed for next year. They're in alignment with per pupil spending. That goes really down the line, and that's self-explanatory. And then you get into the lines of private and parochial special education. I do want to stop and just talk briefly about those. So if you look at the top one, special education at a district, you're going to see that there is an actual decrease in that of $164,000 approximately. So, it doesn't mean that we're transporting to less numbers of schools. We're just trying to work as efficiently as possible. So on a typical day, we'll use routes across the district. If there's openings on those routes to transport someone out of district as well, we'll use that that opportunity. So that's really a nice highlight there. Private and parochial is up slightly at, going up almost close to $80,000 at $78,600. And then as we continue to move on, as we get to the bottom line of the budget, what you're going to notice is that our budget year over year for transportation is up approximately $130,000, or 1.7%. Mr. Braco did touch on the athletic transportation that, which again, just like diesel fuel, we're trying to get the projections in line with our actually spending. And actual spending doesn't mean that there's a cut in service. When you take a look at the overall transportation of that $7 million approximately, really 87%, I believe it is, 87.5%, we really spend it on contract transportation, all our in-district transportation, private and parochial and special education. That's really where the bulk of our transportation comes in.
Before we leave transportation, Mr. Donnarumma built this budget based on our existing contract and assumptions. We are in the last year of a five-year contract, and we're opening up an RFP for transportation on Wednesday. So we need to see how that pricing that comes in for the next year, and if the board chooses to, the next 5 years, impacts the budget proposal put forth by Mr. Donnarumma.
Got it. Thank you. All right.
I just want to make sure that a line wasn't counted twice. And I'm assuming it wasn't because it's the same budget number. But in both the athletic budget or presentation and the transportation presentation, there is the athletic transportation. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure that that 497.
No, it was counted once. The way it happened is the way it was run out. So Mr. Donnarumma ran it out by 55, right? The function code, and Mr. Braco ran it out by his department code. All right, but it shows up in both presentations.
Okay. Exactly. Well, that's what I said. I didn't think it was, but I didn't want to find out after.
Okay. So as we continue on, we'll take a look at health and safety. And just
One more question. Anybody else any questions? Just very quickly.
Yep.
When we met with the PTAs, the question was raised about one of the buildings that had special ed children, and they may need an extra bus or something because they have two people with one child. That's in our budget.
Yeah, definitely. We provide. I can get additional details after the meeting. I can definitely talk to you some more about that. But anytime there are needs, whether it's, you know, to and from school or after school, that transportation is provided. So if we get a request where there's something being overlooked, we take care of that. But I'm interested to get some more feedback as to what was passed on, and I will take a look in more detail to that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. So as we take a look at health and safety, I'm just going to stop and highlight that top number. For the 18-19 school year, when we take a look at 1622, 260, 49, the equipment budget, mm-hmm. we had projected $45,000 for this year. And then next year, I'm asking for potentially $123,000 approximately. Really what that is this year when we built out our one-button lockdown system, the one-button lockdown system has access within the building that I'd like to see increase throughout all of our buildings. So what am I really saying here? I'm really saying that I want to add additional stations so that we have access to staff and students to those systems throughout all our buildings. Right now, they're in limited quantities within our buildings. That's the real bulk of that. In addition, we're going to continue to work on camera replacement. We have about approximately 40 analog cameras still within our district that I want to see a cycle of replacement. So that's where the bulk of that money would be spent. In addition, you're going to see on the bottom of the security budget, security system maintenance. With the analog cameras that still exist, we see that those cameras do drop offline often, and we have to address problems associated with that. So that would be to support that as well. And then the backs page is pretty self-explanatory. I know Mr. Ward will talk a little bit more in detail about those budget items. And then what I'd like to do is just talk about, in general, next year, with the approval of this budget, really what it does to support health and safety. We really are looking to implement additional security at nights and on weekends. Our buildings really, as you know, they never quiet down at night. Although we have security that supports childcare up until a certain time, there are activities that happen in every one of our schools well beyond that. So it's really the support for access to the buildings, the support for supervision and security at those buildings as well. We're going to continue to focus on replacing those analog cameras. We're going to focus on building out that one-button lockdown system. And really, it's going to be a group effort. And the most thing I'm most proud of is trying to get the partnership to continue between Nassau County Police, between our school district, and outside organizations. I think the Sandy Hook one is the one that really illustrates people working together to really do good by kids. And that's really in a nutshell. There are other items up there that I could provide details to you as well. But that's really what I wanted, did want to summarize on that slide.
Any questions, Susan?
Can you tell me in a rough, how much of your budget is state aidable?
State aidable. That might be a...
About half.
About half?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
On the transportation side.
And what about all the new safety?
If there's something...
That's the lobby.
If there's something that we send up to SED for approval, then we get aid on that. Once again, we would get about half back, strung out over about 18 years, so little pieces at a time. Transportation aid, half comes back the year after you expend it.
So transportation is 50%. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I presented it to all the legislators who were there. We'll see what happens. They seemed like they were in favor of it.
Seth?
So it's more of a request for the next time that we do an update on, I know we get occasional updates on bond and the work that we're doing, but yep. Last year during our budget process, particularly near the end of our budget process, we spent a lot of time discussing additional improvements to our security, vestibules, and the like, and so perhaps maybe we can get an update about, you know, at the same time, you know, where we are in that process and if there's, I mean, to the extent that there's something that in the process of planning that wasn't thought of or that impacts the budget in some way that we need to try to build in, maybe that would be the opportunity to kind of do it before we close it. Yeah, when we do, you know, if there is. I mean, maybe that it's been built in and we're just waiting for approvals and that's fine. I just want to make sure that whatever resources are needed, that we have the appropriate amount.
I know last year when we were at our convention, one of the things when we walked around to the different booths and we sat down and talked to different vendors, they do have kits that go in each room that has different kinds of bandages, all stuff in case, God forbid, a window is broken, shards of glass are there, flashlights, just it's like your own hurricane kit that you keep in your house.
Yep.
And I don't know if we've looked into it. I know we're going to be going into Philly. I'm sure that we're going to be looking at this stuff. They're not, I mean, you can copy basically what they're selling.
Yeah, so one of the programs that I'm looking into that I'd love to see brought to this district is Stop the Bleed. I know myself and Ellie Becker have looked into that. And really the premise behind it is being able to address medical situations here on the spot. And it creates the training, plus it creates the availability of resources necessary to support that. But, yeah, that's through Nassau County Police. So
this was just, you know, watching it and the stuff that they had in it. It's like common sense.
Yeah.
But it could save a life, just one tourniquet, if there's shards of glass that come and the different things. So we'll try to see if we can find those vendors again and see what's in their kit. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, Renell.
Just have another question, Chris.
Sure.
Whatever happened to the speed bags that we used to have, the duffels filled with all kinds of supplies and equipment in case of, God forbid, an emergency? Is it still in existence?
Yeah, we have to-go bags. We've actually updated them since that. I actually have your old to-go bag in my closet, but we do give out additional and newer first aid to-go bags. Yep, they're red, they're smaller, compact, but they have the same quantity and supplies.
Great. And the AEDs in every building, everything is kept up annually or however many times a year.
Yeah, that's
Joe Braco.
Yeah, I apologize to me. But yes, we get an annual check in the beginning in August, and then if there's any issues throughout the course of the year, we have a contract out to cardiac science that comes in and checks any of our AEDs that need to be.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank Chris. Buildings and grounds.
Okay, last presentation for tonight. The most exciting, buildings and grounds.
Good afternoon, good evening, I should say. It's almost 9 o'clock.
It'll be good morning soon.
I was sitting in the back. Thank you for having me. The B&G budget. I'm going to start off by speaking about some keys to success that we've had this year And a lot of it revolved around some of the larger projects we performed. Some of it's from the bond era, which is now 4 years old, and some of it is from capital. But the top line starts off with the POB Middle School Auditorium, the Stratford Road Auditorium, the Matlin Middle School LGI, and we're currently in process reconstructing the POB JFK LGI, which should be ready near the latter part of April. With that, we've also, I'm going to just jump down a couple where we've also worked in the smaller schools, the Old Bethpage, Pasadena, and Parkway. We rehabilitated the stages and did new rigging, curtains, lighting, and sound. So at some time this year, we're going to have all of our auditoriums or LGIs in a modern state. It's going to do a great thing for the music and the theater programs and anybody else who uses our auditoriums. This year, we completed the POB Middle School window replacement and the Matlin Middle School atrium skylights. We have been able to push forward a lot of large air conditioning projects, notably the JFK High School cafeteria, the POB Middle School auditorium, the cafeteria at the middle school, and the pool, which many people don't realize, got a new system that is actually helping us ventilate the pool, and we've cut down on the odor of chlorine in that area tremendously with the amount of air exchanges that come through now. We have one of the most modern systems that's on the roof, and next time you buy, check it out. We also were able to air condition the Old Bethpage gym, the JJP gym, and the Pasadena gymnasium. This past summer, we were able to provide a district-wide wireless access project through the Smart Schools Bond Act, and that's complete. The keys to success are some of the other projects that came through was ceiling and lighting upgrades at POB, JFK High School, JJP, and Pasadena. We completed the JFK fire alarm replacement, which also included carbon monoxide detection. We've had ADA improvements at the Matlin Middle School, including we have access now to backstage for anyone who needs a lift to get on the stage. It was always, prior to this project, it was three steps down. It wasn't very accessible. I talked about the stage lighting, sound, and curtain replacements. The ADA bathroom improvements at POB Middle School, JJP, and Pasadena were completed this summer. We are compliant for all those smaller buildings currently. Next page. All right, here's the budget. I don't know if you want me to go line by line, but I will. Okay.
Just give us significant changes, either up or down.
Okay. Some of the equipment here this year is going to be supporting the art department. We have provided for funding for the elementary schools and the middle schools for desks and student tables and such. So you'll see that in this equipment area. Let's see. Most of them are pretty constant.
See, fuel oil.
Fuel oil. We've lowered, we haven't been using heating oil. Is that what you're referring to, heating oil? Yeah. We haven't been using the actual truck oil. We've been relying on natural gas, so we're bringing that down, but keeping it in reserve in the event of an emergency where we have to switch to fuel. This page is constant. This is constant. If you look at 1620, 590, that jump there, that's for the art room, classroom equipment throughout the district, except for the high school.
Now, part of that is at the beginning of the budget numbers, there was a decrease of about $32,000 in the 1620-260 code. If you remember last year, anything that has a unit cost below $1,000 went into the 590 code. So part of that is a shift from the equipment code plus an increase in requests for furniture.
Okay. These are fairly constant. In the 1621-409 SED required building inspections, this coming year we do what's known as the triennial asbestos inspections. And also in 2020, we will begin the five-year testing of water. So that'll start to cost a little bit of money. It's a five-year program now. And this page is constant. So the budget's up 1.9% year over year, but it's all accounted for. Questions?
I wasn't sure if this would be yours, Andy, or if this would have been Joe's, but with our pool at POB Middle School, since it's a community pool, yes, used for community programs, and we did so many things with ADA in the bathrooms and in the band rooms, et cetera, do we have a lift, or are we ever planning on bringing a lift into the pool?
I put a lift in. I think this one works. Lift in about 2.5 years ago.
Is it there? Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
It's Board of Health approved. As well as JFK has a lift.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, yeah, we have to do the capital.
Oh, capital.
It never ends. Never ends here. I put a photo on this one because I forgot to put it in my slide, but we also renovated the science rooms at Matlin and POB Middle School, along with prep rooms at the Matlin School. Yes. This year, we are seeking to do a transfer of capital for a couple of items, which I'll go through with you. At POB Middle School, there are some major classroom renovations to address due to enrollment increases, and it impacts the areas of the technology programs. It impacts the area of Z-Space. It impacts some of the main office and guidance areas to accommodate moving rooms back into the main office. And we're going to change out the furniture for the one of the fax rooms to make it similar to the prior project we did. We're moving some offices to the lower level where the athletic department and the child care offices left. So it's quite a bit of work going on there. We're starting the planning phases have already started. We're doing testing in those areas currently for materials. We also have the two science room prep rooms that we were unable to do last year. We're going to move forward and perform them with the capital money. We're going to perform some additional work at Stratford's auditorium where we didn't have enough money in the other fund, so we're going to do some wainscoting and some other areas there. And then throughout the district, we're going to do some carpeting and flooring replacements.
So in the 18-19 adopted budget, transfer to capital was $2.1 million. In the 19-20 proposed budget, it's $2 million. So it's a decrease of $100,000 year over year.
Ceiling tiles, are we doing anything in that?
In all the classrooms that we're going to impact, they'll all be changed out.
How about the hallways?
We spent through the money in the bond for POB Middle School. This year we're going to be concentrating in Stratford Road. They're going to be getting their ceiling and lighting. So with the projects that we're doing, there'll be another 7 or 8 rooms getting new ceilings and lighting over there.
So in the bond, in some of the buildings, the bond supported changing the ceiling and lighting of half of the building. So sometime in the future, we have to figure out how to do the other half.
Mm-hmm. I think this is what frustrates me. Mm-hmm. We never finish anything. We start it, and we get to whatever percent, and then it dangles. And I must say, when we walked through POB Middle School,
mm-hmm.
I felt the building really needed to be spruced up when we walked through the other buildings. Especially those ceiling tiles. They make such a difference in the lights in a building.
Absolutely.
And to do something 50% just doesn't make sense. So that maybe not this budget, the following budget, we can figure out how we can finish a project like the auditoriums 100%.
We have the same situation here at Matlin where we did a little more than half. But if you look upstairs in B House, right. Well, it's that metal pan ceiling. Same as Stratford. You'll see that. We'll do as much as we can in Stratford this summer, but then we're going to end up with some parts of the building that still have that original ceiling and lighting. So we'll see that, and we'll put those numbers together for future consideration.
I get that, and had we done a $79 million bond, perhaps we could have covered everything. But we didn't. And so we have budgets and capital reserves, and we have different ways to do it. And so maybe one of the things to make up the difference is to see what the cost is, and to the extent we continue to through our budget process for this budget, if we get the cost and we look at the modifications, maybe that's something that we could build in, not next year, but even this year. And if not, then we'll consider it for next year. I mean, I get that we did half. I'm saying maybe we can consider including it now. I don't know what the cost is, so we'll
find we can out get costs cost per room, basically.
It could be. It could be. We'll get the we'll get some budget numbers for consideration.
So please do.
Before budget adoption.
That would make us very happy. Thank you, Andy. Yeah.
Can I
thank
you.
Sorry.
Only because if we're talking about transfer to capital and capital stuff, I know that it is coming up under new business, the capital reserve fund.
Yes.
I have a question now, I guess, about it, and that is if passed by the community, we'll expend the $4.5 million for the items that are listed. How much is left that is currently in there, and how much more could we put in to get to the max of, I think it was $25 million, if this one is the, if I'm thinking of the right, $25 million.
Okay, so I'll have to get some real detail for you. I could give you round numbers, but it might sway some decision-making, so let me come back to you at the next meeting with that information about how much is in there and how much we've committed. We haven't actually spent anything because other than perhaps some architectural fees, because we haven't started construction on any of those those projects approved by voters.
But we
last
also,
year.
If memory serves, we also didn't yet we didn't fill it yet, right? We have this bucket that we filled only partially. We still have
And that's the other thing you need in your decision making process. What's the potential to be there at the end of this fiscal year?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any more to go? Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're now going into public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall 1. State their name and address, and 2. Indicate on whose behalf they're speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which the reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. The floor is open. Oops, almost thought we were through.
Not getting up. You're not getting out that easy. I promise it won't be like the sports team last time.
Okay.
Sharon Schwartz, 112 Morton Boulevard. I am also the POBMS PTA co-president, and I'm speaking in that capacity. Number one, Ginger, thank you for bringing up the point of please finishing the projects. Looking around the school, seeing the different ceiling tiles, thank you for noting that. I really hope we can find the funds to fix that, especially when we're sitting here looking at spending $1 million to create new learning spaces to address the enrollment issues. This is all stuff that needs to be addressed. And once again, I want to make sure our students get everything they need. Mr. Ward, thank you very much for the decrease in the chlorine smell by the pool. It is greatly appreciated when we walk through the halls. That's all I've got. As you know, My job here is to remind you that our students need everything that I'm hoping our students get everything they need. And I appreciate your attention. Thank you.
Hello. A little low for me. Colleen Maxivino. I'm speaking in my capacity as an executive board member of the Plainview Bethpage Middle School PTA. And in that capacity, we just wanted to remind you, similar to what Sharon said, that with the increased enrollment, especially when you're planning your budget, friendly reminder that we want to make sure especially that class sizes are comparable to Matlin's. We're really concerned that we're going to have classes of, let's say, throwing out numbers, 28 people compared to a Matlin class of 21. That would be inequitable. And we are asking that you make sure that that doesn't happen. In addition, that we have additional lunch aids, that our AIS classes are also comparable in size and not overcrowded, that we have additional hall aids, additional support for our clubs, especially the most popular ones, our music programs, which are already, some of them, very overcrowded, the band in particular, in the fifth and sixth grade group. We have to address a way to do that. To be honest, I don't think there's any more room in the band room for the fifth and sixth grade band, at least, for any other children. We also are asking that you make sure you remember additional custodial needs. If we need them, we will have additional learning spaces to clean. And additional security, especially for drop-off and pickup, which is already a very busy, as you know, time. The art gallery, we just wanted to note that we know that you were thinking of turning the closet into our school store because we're relocating the school store to provide more learning space. But we have worked in that school store for many years as PTA. That space really probably we're thinking is just inadequate. We get a lot of children to come in, and if they're coming through the art projects, it's probably going to be a problem to keep the art projects whole because we get a lot of kids who are rushing. They're rushing to sports. They're rushing to remedial. They're coming in. They're getting snacks. They're getting waters, and we're concerned about that. In addition, just to note, this may change, but right now our art classes are actually being held in the art gallery. That closet is being used for actual art purposes as the art rooms are worked on. When we saw the presentation for the renovation of our art rooms, we are wondering if that space will again have to be utilized. Will the children be displaced, and where will they go if there's no space? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Ladies and gentlemen, public participation is now over. Do I have a motion on routine business? Jody, a second. Debbie, any holds, separations? All in favor? So moved. I have to get down here. Three items of new business. Do I have a motion on the resolution for the use of existing capital reserve fund? Seth, second. Rennell? Hold separations discussion. All in favor? So moved. May I have a motion for the approval of the legal notice for the annual district meeting and election? Jody, second. Lauren, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. Please have a motion for the ENL Academy, Spring Academy for 2019. Lauren, second. Debbie, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I please have a motion to go into executive session for reason of real estate and personnel? Jody, second. Susan, all in favor? So moved. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a nice evening.